Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine day?
Dude, I'm great. Tired. I'm a little tired today, not gonna lie. But I'm good. How are you, James?
Good, man. This is the kind of stuff I get excited about, talking about the free agents. Who are we bringing back? Who are we letting fly, as you're hinting there with your wings going? Who are we just gonna let fly on to another team? And who's gonna be a superstar for us in the future, maybe?
Maybe.
Who knows?
This year? Question mark? Exclamation point.
Yeah. Today's going to be the offensive side of the ball that we're going to focus on. We're going to have another show coming up soon here where we're going to focus on the defensive side of the ball, but we're just talking Steelers free agents only right now, not any of the other ones that are out there.
Correct.
So we're going to cover all the different options. What are they? An exclusive rights free agent, an unrestricted free agent, or just a restricted free agent, because there are three different options, and it depends on what you fall into, which category, as to how much money you're going to make.
Yep. That's how it works. So we're just going to start right away.
Yeah. We got them in order by position, just to make it easy for everybody out here listening and following through. The first position you always talk about, at least on our show, is the quarterback position.
The QB.
And we're going to start with Cody's boy, Dwayne Haskins. So I'm going to let you start off with Dwayne here, buddy, because I know how excited you get about him.
I get excited because the potential's there. I get excited because it's something different for Pittsburgh. I get excited because Dwayne Haskins, although he's, and again, we've talked about this on the show, he's probably not more mobile than Mason Rudolph, but I think Dwayne Haskins has the potential to be better than him in the pocket, if given the time and if put forth the effort. Let me put it that way. I think Dwayne is, for the most part, naturally better athlete than Mason. He's just slower. But I think athleticism as a whole, Dwayne might have him beat as far as maybe mobility in the pocket. I think that might have something to do with it. They're very similar in size, right? They're what, two? Not even. I don't remember now.
I want to say they're both right in around that 220 range, right around 6'3", 6'4",
They're not short.
That prototypical size that you look for.
Yeah. So, and I'm just excited about Dwayne Haskins because, again, I think he's something different for Pittsburgh. Now, he is a restricted free agent with an original round tender, so he's not going to be making a ton of money either way. In my opinion, you bring him back. What's stopping you from bringing him back?
Nothing. As a restricted free agent, Pittsburgh has the option of tendering him either with a first round tag, which is where he was drafted, a second round tag, or an original round tender. Now, if they hit him with a first round tag, I want to say it's $4 million plus. Second round is slightly less. And then the original round tender only pays a little bit over $2 million. And then they still have to be reimbursed by another team. So if they hit him with the original round tender, you only have to pay him a little over $2 million. If somebody else signs him, we get their first round pick.
It's not going to happen.
It's win-win for Pittsburgh. You figure, you know, why wouldn't you give the guy a little over $2 million? It's 1% of your salary cap. Regardless of how much you like him, and I think we all know at this point that Cody's a bigger fan of Dwayne Haskins than I am. There's no denying that he has a very, very strong arm and that there is potential there. I say, you know, there's no reason not to give him the original round tender. Bring him back. We're going to have basically an open quarterback competition. And the only thing we know right now is that we got one guy on the team. We need some competition for him. And Dwayne will give him that. So I say absolutely you bring him back. Next guy on the list is Mr. Joshua Dobbs, who's been with the team for several years now, is an unrestricted free agent, spent most of the season last year on the injured reserve after getting an injury. I think it was in the preseason, spent the rest of the year on the injured reserve and is known for his IQ and athleticism. Those are his big, strong points.
Yeah, football is not rocket science, but he is a rocket scientist.
He is. He absolutely is. And he was the guy that Ben Roethlisberger always went to over the years, too, when looking at film and trying to figure out where a weakness is. And a few times it got out that a play that was successful was actually one that Josh Dobbs suggested calling. So, if nothing, for nothing else, Mike Tomlin has put a very large stress on wanting a more athletic quarterback than what they've had recently. Josh Dobbs is far superior in athleticism to both Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins.
Yep.
And the only question with him is how strong is the arm? How accurate is he? Those things seem to be intermittent. But as far as the intelligence and the athleticism, he would be the best of the group right now. Do you bring him back? I say you offer him league minimum. You bring him in and you see where it goes from there. But that also kind of depends on whether or not you get one of those mid-tier free agents out there, like we talked about, like a Marcus Mariota or Mitch Trubisky or somebody like that. If you're able to bring in one of those guys, you probably don't bother with Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, that makes sense. But
he's a league minimum, bring him back. That's where I stand with Dobbs. Yeah. What about you?
Dobbs, I think in the past, man, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years, Dobbs has been the most exciting quarterback for Pittsburgh to watch when he's played, which has been, again, mostly probably all preseason gameplay is what we're going off of. But Mason Rudolph to me wasn't exciting, wasn't anything crazy. He made some plays, but, you know, he had the longest run last year, if I'm correct. I don't think.
Second. Najee beat him in the second to last game against the Browns.
Whatever. For the longest time last year, you know, Mason Rudolph had the longest run. But I think Josh Dobbs, his mobility, his play recognition, like you said, his IQ, and the fact that Ben went to him, I think it's dumb not to bring him in, not to bring him back. Even if it's just for, you know, a practice or not a practice squad body, but a training camp body to bring someone in to help. He already knows the playbook clearly. He can help if they decide to draft somebody or if they decide to bring in a mid-tier quarterback in free agency. He can help them learn the system. He can help them break down defenses and especially Pittsburgh's defense. So I think you bring him back. I don't know. In all honesty, and this is something that's just hitting me now, I would probably still prefer Josh Dobbs as an active backup to Dwayne Haskins, even though we haven't seen Haskins play much. But that's mostly because of the mobility and the fact that our offensive line is absolute garbage.
That's the thing. Like with the offensive line not being solidified right now, you figure Josh Dobbs would probably survive back there a little bit better.
Yeah, you'd hope. You definitely hope. But that's my input on Dobbs. Yeah. I think, again, very similar to Haskins, why not bring him back? This isn't saying these are the guys that are going to be on the active roster next year. That's not what we're saying on this episode. We are specifically talking about free agents and how we think Pittsburgh should treat them. I think you're dumb if you don't bring both of these guys back. Again, even if it's for league minimum or just to wind up being released to make the active, like to create the 53-man roster. I don't know. That's my input, though.
Cool. So we're pretty similar on both those guys. Let's move on to the running back position, where the only pending free agent is Mr. Kalen Ballage. Cody's got a finger up.
I was just saying one guy. That's it.
One guy.
Ballage, and here's the thing. Yeah, but I can go first with Ballage. Ballage showed some spunk at the beginning of the year when we first got him. He showed a little bit of burst. He showed a little bit of a good ability to find the hole and hit the gap. And I felt like we saw that. But then when push came to shove and we got to moments where we'd put him in an actual game, like I think that was all preseason, unless I'm wrong. We didn't have him in preseason. We did. I can't remember everything. Yeah. But I just felt like later in the year when we saw him come in as like the second or third guy in when we were dealing with injuries and stuff, it was him and Benny Snell alternating the backup behind Najee. I didn't see anything worth keeping with Ballage personally. Now at the same point, I haven't seen anything worth keeping from Benny Snell recently or Anthony McFarland with the injuries. So at the same time, those guys are obviously under contract. We're keeping them. But at this point, someone's probably going to offer Kalen Ballage more than what we will. That's my input on it.
Yeah. I feel like I don't necessarily think Kalen Ballage is going to get more than league minimum from another team, but I also don't think there's any point in bringing him back.
Yeah, that's fair.
Honestly, he's been a journeyman up until this point for a reason, and it seems like the number one issue with him is not being able to read the hole, so not being able to read the line and know where to push to get through them.
Which he looked great at the beginning, like in the preseason, and then it just did, he lost it, or it was just because he was going up against starters and he wasn't that good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to say what it was, and I would say when you compare him to, like, Benny Snell, Benny Snell does kick coverage, and he does really well at it and actually gets you some tackles. Kalen Ballage doesn't offer anything in the kick coverage unit, and I think they might use him sometimes as an up back in the kick return unit, but, you know, Benny can do that as well, so it's not really anything that you gain as a backup running back. So if your backup running back isn't going to excel as a running back, he better give you some value somewhere else. And we at least have some special teams value with Benny Snell in the coverage units. And then we saw the possibility is there with Anthony McFarland as a kick return man. It looked like Pittsburgh was willing to at least try him at that position. And he seems to have a little bit more burst than the other guys as well. So
oh, yeah.
I feel like those guys still on their rookie contracts, you bring them back. Kalen Ballage, you move on. Bring in some undrafted guys just to see if you catch a diamond in the rough. But I don't see any point in bringing back Kalen Ballage even at the league minimum personally.
Yep, I would agree with that. Next up, now we're talking about your boy. Your boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Both color.
Yeah, that's right. We're both going to be sad next year because I'm both think that there's a decent chance that these jerseys are going to be a thing of the past for him, which sucks. I would love for Pittsburgh to bring Juju Smith-Schuster back. He is an unrestricted free agent, so he can do whatever the heck he wants to and go to whatever team he wants to. I do believe Pittsburgh will make a push for him. I don't know how aggressive it's going to be, and I don't know if I were him if I'd be excited about coming back and being used like a tight end.
Yeah.
For like the last 2 years, they just send him over the middle of the field on a 2 or 3 yard pass and ask him to beat linebackers and safeties and go get extra yards. And it's a really, really tough way they've been using him. He isn't getting vertical routes anymore. And honestly, a lot of teams double teamed and triple teamed him and took him out of the game plan. So it's a difficult situation for him. You figure he's probably going to want to go somewhere where there's a marquee wide receiver so he can go back to being the number two and not be the targeted guys. So he can get back to his high level production that he had early in his career when he was opposite Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I saw a stat, I believe yesterday or the day before, somebody posted online. I believe it was 33 and 30. I don't remember which one, but games with AB, games without. He had 10 100-plus yard games with AB and only one without him.
Yeah, and I think it was 30 games.
Yeah, he's not a number one wide receiver. He's not.
I think it was 30 games with and 33 without.
Yep.
Now, the only thing I would say to the whole Juju isn't a number one is who was his number two during the times, and that was a pretty major drop-off. So everybody obviously double teamed him because there were no other good quality receivers on the team once AB was gone. But regardless of that, you got to make it happen or people don't take you serious. So I think Juju will most likely sign with another team. I don't expect him to get top dollar just because the numbers haven't been there the last couple of years. I think he's probably going to do another 1 year prove it deal. And I think that's in his best interest.
Yeah. Did you see if he can stay healthy and he also was in an interview or something that said it would be cool to catch balls from Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
So that's Dak's last place I want to see him go. Well, I don't know. I see him going to either Dallas, Kansas City, or Baltimore. Those are the three teams I have him looking at.
Yeah. I really, really hope it's not Baltimore, but with the news of Hollywood Brown possibly retiring and not going to play football anymore, then Baltimore is going to be real hard up for wide receivers. They do love physical guys, and Juju's a very physical guy. So I could see that happening. Another guy that would be a good fit for them with liking physical wide receivers is James Washington. Another unrestricted free agent for Pittsburgh on this list. James Washington, unfortunately, did not get utilized as much as we would have liked to. showed good hands and good physicality with the ball in his hands. Just not a good ability to separate from defenders. Really had a difficult time in getting open and getting away from the corners covering him. But pretty much if you threw it to him, he caught it.
And I was going to say, with that being said, if you're not going to be good at separation, you have to be good at catching in contested positions. And that's what he was. Hands down. Yeah. Hands down. I don't think I've, maybe other than AB or even Hines Ward, I don't think I've seen Pittsburgh with a better wide receiver at making contested catches. Yeah. Like high traffic area between two guys. He's going up and he's fighting for that ball. And 9 times out of 10 or more, he's getting it.
Yeah.
Hines Ward, in my opinion, quite honestly, and obviously AB, but AB could create the separation. Hines Ward wasn't the fastest guy on the field, but Hines Ward put his body out there to make catches, and he did it. And so I love James Washington. Again, and here's my thing. I think you have to keep one of those two. I think you have to. And I think if they don't keep Juju, which again, like you said, we would love to see him stay. I just don't see it happening. James Washington here with Mason Rudolph, who they played college football together. We talked about that from the beginning. I think if you say, hey, you're going to be if you can guarantee him popping into a starting role or playing a bigger factor, hopefully he stays. Hopefully he decides to stay. Again, it's an iffy situation. I think if you lose both of them, and I mean, there's even another restricted free agent or unrestricted free agent, excuse me, wide receiver as well that we haven't talked about yet. I think if you lose Juju and James, you're in a bad position.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree with you at all on that. I think it would be a really smart move to retain one of the two of them. If you did so, that would basically eliminate it as a need in the upcoming draft class as to where this could very easily turn into a need. The only way I see it not being something that they prioritize in the draft is if they sign this third guy, and I think they will personally. Ray-Ray McLeod, also an unrestricted free agent, and I would not consider Ray-Ray as good a quality as James Washington, let alone Juju Smith-Schuster. I think both of them are higher quality receivers, but what he is a dynamic return man, both in the kick return game and punt return game, and a guy that when you get the ball in his hands, he does pose that danger of being able to break it on darn near any play. He also puts a very large amount of effort forth in the blocking game. So when you run a run play, you know you're going to get 110% out of Ray-Ray McLeod attempting to block. It's just that he's small, so it's a difficult matchup for him, and he doesn't win very often. But he's very feisty, and he always gives 110% out there. So I think that Pittsburgh can probably retain Ray-Ray McLeod for a cheap contract. I don't think you'd have to pay him much more than a couple million dollars a year, $2 or $3 million. And for a starting return man and a decent quality backup wide receiver, I'm on board with that personally. But I would prefer to have Juju back, to be 100% transparent.
Fair enough.
I think that it's important also that you have a good return man. It's a position that Pittsburgh neglected for years and years. It is a starting position. Your starting punt return man, your starting kick return man, that is a starting position. And if he also does give you a little bit of value at the wide receiver position and you can keep him without paying him a ton of money, I think you should strongly consider retaining him, in my opinion.
I can't argue with that. So let me clarify. I definitely could, but I'm not going to. For the simple, here's the thing. The only reason that I'm saying they should re-sign Ray-Ray is because if you don't, you're adding way too many needs to yourself right now.
Yes.
It's the only reason.
Yep.
I think you can find a notably better return man than Ray-Ray. Not that Ray-Ray's bad. I just think there are better ones out there. But Ray-Ray, again, if you don't sign some of these guys and you don't sign people in free agency or whatever, you create such a lopsided ability of players available and or player like ways to get players if you don't get them in the draft or free agency that you can't mix that. So you have to pick and choose, all right, what are we going to settle with this year in free agency to keep players to where we can focus on the bigger needs and then maybe address that other position next year. And I just don't think a return man is a big enough priority for us this year that we can justify getting rid of Ray Ray. That is my main reason.
Yeah, I'm with you. You got to minimize what you need going into this draft class and into free agency. So retaining Ray Ray at least crosses off, I think, 2 to 3 positions.
Yeah.
So I think it's a worthwhile investment. Again, assuming you can keep that dollar amount low enough because you need to spend the big dollars on guys like Micah Fitzpatrick and maybe some offensive linemen, that kind of thing in free agency.
Yep.
On to the next position, right next to the wide receivers is tight end Eric Ebron. Eric has been a little bit up and down in his career with Pittsburgh thus far and is an unrestricted free agent.
Yep. Fun fact about Eric Ebron, he touched our friend Noah's hand at training camp.
That's true.
They high-fived each
other. That's true.
Noah has not forgiven himself for not recording that moment.
And not getting an autograph or not taking a picture.
Nothing.
Or,
he did something, nothing. Nah, it's great.
It's fun for us to tease him about. Noah's a great guy.
It is.
Ebron. Yeah, you're about to say the same exact thing as me.
As far as Ebron.
I'm out on bringing him back, and that's just because we're good at the position. We need guys in Pittsburgh's offense that are able to block well. Also, it's an important thing for the tight end position. Yep. Pat Freiermuth has shown an ability to block. Zach Gentry actually moved from being a bad blocker to a better than average blocker in the last season and started showing some receiving ability and some run after catch ability also. So I think with those two guys already in place, there's absolutely no reason to spend money on Eric Ebron because he won't be cheap.
You said something that I don't agree with, so I'm going to address it real quick.
Hit it, man.
You said I think we're good at that position. I think you are full of crap. I think we are good at the starting position at tight end.
Okay.
I think that Gentry, it still has – there's somebody that – I personally believe that if we signed Eric Ebron and he came back healthy, he would be a better number two than Zach Gentry. That's my personal opinion. Maybe you don't agree, and that's fine.
As a receiver, yes.
That's fair. I'm going to say as a threat.
Yeah, as a receiver, yeah. As a receiver, he's definitely more athletic, and he's definitely a better route runner. I would say Zach Gentry has better hands than Eric Ebron and is definitely a far superior blocker.
That's fair.
To me, at this stage, I don't want the guy that can run a 4.5 40, but drops, you know, one out of every four balls thrown his way. I'd rather take the guy with a 4.7 40 who catches 9 out of 10 passes thrown his way.
That's fair. But just addressing that real quick, there are four positions that we are good at. Four. Left outside linebacker. Free safety. Running back. And kicker. Those are my four that I'm satisfied with. As far as starters is concerned.
Yeah.
I guess you could say defensive end too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a long list right now.
No.
It just isn't. It's not a long list. You know, I'm obviously I would add to that the starting defensive tackle, Mr. Cameron Hayward. That's pretty satisfied with his abilities.
That's fair.
that's an understatement. Obviously, I'm being funny there.
Yep.
But yeah, there's not a lot of cornerstones in this team right now. On the offensive side, there's a lot of opportunity for young guys to show what they have because honestly, Pittsburgh just is not deep and does not have a lot of future starters in place on the offensive side right now. And the offensive line is where we're going next with this conversation.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about these guys. There's four of them that are free agents of some sort. The very first one is our first of the day that is an exclusive rights free agent, Mr. J.C. Hostenhauer, who specializes at center, does play a little bit of guard as well. He cleaned up the center position at the end of the season. In a lot of people's opinions, including myself, and I do believe Cody's as well, he played better than Kendrick Green did.
Oh, yeah.
So
hands down. Yeah.
In my opinion, this is a very, very easy decision as an exclusive rights free agent. All you have to do is offer a qualifying offer, which is just league minimum being somewhere around $1 million. You absolutely give that to J.C. Hostenhauer. Let's bring him back. And at worst case scenario, I think he's better than what you have in Kendrick Green. And you at least have somebody that's a capable backup center and guard. You hope to have an upgrade over him as the starting center for the upcoming season. But you at least know that he's an adequate player and can get the job done in a pinch.
Yeah, I genuinely can't disagree with you on anything there. I think that Pittsburgh would be dumb to not bring him back with everything going on with the rest of the offensive line. I definitely can't disagree with you on that. But with that being said, I think at the same time, if you can address the position in free agency with somebody who might even be better than him.
Yes.
And spend a little bit more money. Yeah, do it. And if that means not bringing him back, fine. I still think you could probably bring him back on the minimum. The minimum starting at $660,000 for a rookie and going up, I believe, as high as...
Yeah, it depends on your years of experience.
1.075 is the high end. So,
yeah,
big whoop.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it to me. Like, when you sign J.C. Hassan out or that exclusive rights tender, that does not exclude you from going after another center in my book. In fact, I would highly encourage going after at least one, if not two, interior offensive linemen in free agency, because you need to do something to solidify it better than it was last season.
Yep.
The only guy that gave up more sacks than Dan Moore last year was Trey Turner, the starting right guard last year. You need to do something to improve that interior offensive line, and I think it starts with at least having a guy that you're confident in at the base level of as an adequate backup, and I think JC gives you that. The next guy on the list, BJ Finney, I'm not so sure that he is that anymore. I used to really have a high opinion of BJ Finney. I thought that maybe one day he could turn into a starting guard for this team, and I feel like the last couple years in the NFL have not been kind to him.
No.
So as an unrestricted free agent, the only way I would be interested in him returning is at a league minimum, and that would not guarantee him a roster spot.
Nope.
It would give him the opportunity to attempt to get a roster spot. I would be scared if he's a starter next year.
Yeah, again, I expect Pittsburgh to draft two or three offensive linemen, so you could easily potentially draft someone who's better than half the guys, actually probably all the offensive linemen on the list that we're going to talk about. But I'm the same with BJ Finney. He had moments where he shined very well and picked up extra blitzers well and helped out well on if there's no one coming, find some work. But other than that, the majority of this offensive line, we talked about it all the time, I haven't seen the fight from these guys. I haven't seen the hunger. I haven't seen the nasty, as we call it. BJ Finney is one of those guys that I haven't seen enough from to justify keeping him at anything more than league minimum.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty easy conversation on BJ. Maybe a little bit more of a conversation with Trey Turner, last year's starting right guard, that was signed as an emergency replacement when David DeCastro was released from the team, not clearing his medical from the previous year with an ankle condition that he had. Ended up not signing with anyone either. Also still has not declared himself retired. So he's just kind of pending out there in the wasteland of free agency. But Trey Turner had some really good moments last year, and then he had a lot of moments where there was some serious miscommunication or just misunderstanding of what your blocking assignment was.
Yep.
And it's tough to say if that was on him or if it was on Kendrick Green, but it didn't get better as the season went on. He'd have two or three games in a row where he looked great, and then the next game he'd let two or three guys run right by him and smack Ben right in the face. He gave up 6.5 sacks as an interior offensive lineman that's a starter. That is way too many. Dan Moore was 7.5 last year and the only one on the team that gave up more. But if it's coming from the outside, you have a little bit of a chance to try to get the guy to miss. If it's coming right up the middle, you're pretty much screwed as a quarterback. So you got to have better play than what we had out of Trey Turner. And I don't expect it to magically get better a year in. So I would be in favor of letting Trey Turner go into free agency and go on to another team. I'm not interested in him returning at this point.
No, and I can't. Like, I can't agree with you anymore. Trey Turner like you said, there were some good high moments, but most of them were not good. Allowing that many sacks from an interior position is bad, to say it politely. But I'm out on Trey Turner. I think if they bring Trey Turner back, I think that's a waste of money and a waste of a position on the team, even as a practice squad, but a camp guy for training camp. I think it's a waste of a spot.
Yeah, you're better off bringing in more undrafted guys and trying to see if you can find a diamond in the rough than bringing him back. He's in his late 20s. He's not going to get better. No. Last guy on our list, and this is the guy we're going to wrap up today's show with, a former starting right tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor. Chukwuma was a fourth-round draft pick by the Steelers, and his rookie contract has expired, making him an unrestricted free agent. One of the biggest issues Pittsburgh had last year was getting enough push in the running game to open holes for Najee Harris.
Yep.
With Chukes being a pass-blocking specialist and not that great in the run-blocking game, I think it's smart of Pittsburgh to move on from Chukes. He gave us some real nice games against some elite pass rushers, but we're looking for a balanced offense, and I don't think you're ever going to get that with offensive linemen who aren't good at run blocking. And unfortunately, at this point in Chukes' career, that's what he is.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. Again, you need to have that balanced offense. We've experienced what it's like you said, with Najee already 1 year. And he still performed very well. I mean, he had a Pro Bowl season at the end of it, everything. And you got to get someone in there who can run block on that right side. So look for Chukes to not return. Chukes is probably the one that I expect to come back, even though I don't want him. Trey Turner, I don't think he's coming back at all. And then the other guys, I think they probably re-sign, even if it's for camp. Again, J.C. Hasenauer being someone who I'm the most sold on out of those guys, I think. The most sold on for the offensive line. So, yeah, again, that's going to sum up the offensive side of free agency for you guys today. If you guys have your own opinions, feel free to reach out to us on social media or email us at SteelersByLake@gmail.com and let us know. We would love to hear from you guys. Love to hear your intake. Again, we will read your emails on the show if you guys so desire. Put that in the email. Say, hey, can you read this on the show? These are the guys that I would keep. These are the guys that I would get rid of. If you want to add an explanation, feel free. We look forward and love hearing from you guys. So again, thank you so much for listening and watching. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Hit the subscribe button, ring the bell, get notifications. It's free. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.